All right, welcome to another deep dive, everybody. Today, we're taking a look at, well, I guess the foundation of the Bible. Where does the authority of Holy Scripture come from?
It's kind of an origin story.
Yeah.
Where does the Bible come from and why should we trust it?
Yeah, and for this deep dive, you sent over a lecture by Dr. Robert A. Peterson called Revelation and Scripture.
Session 16?
Yeah, Session 16, Special Revelation, Holy Scripture, Seven Views on Inspiration. So we are going to be looking at all these different perspectives on where the Bible comes from and how it got its authority, which I think is going to be really interesting.
Absolutely. And just to kind of set the stage here, Dr. Peterson, he starts by looking at the book of 2 Peter,
okay,
specifically chapter 1, verses 16 through 21.
Hmm.
And he reminds us that Peter is writing this letter kind of as he's approaching the end of his life.
Right.
He wants to make sure that believers remember important things, things to help them avoid sin and things that will build them up in their faith.
Right, right. And so right away, Peter starts by saying, hey, we didn't just tell you some made-up stories.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
That's right.
And I think that's important because that goes back to the transfiguration.
That's
right?
Absolutely.
That incredible event in Matthew 17 where Jesus is talking with Moses and Elijah.
Yeah. And, I mean, Peter's point here is this was an experience that they actually had.
You know? They saw this.
They saw this.
They were there.
They heard the voice from heaven.
Right. Which said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.
Which is huge, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this was a big confirmation for them that Jesus is the real deal. But then Peter makes this other interesting statement. He says, for we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
So, a couple things there.
Yeah, unpack that. There's a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, so first you have, he says, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. Now, there's some debate about what that means. What does it mean that it's more fully confirmed?
Yeah.
But there's generally three ways that people interpret this.
Okay.
The first one is that the transfiguration itself was sort of a confirmation of the prophetic word of the Old Testament.
Right, because all the prophets had pointed to the Messiah.
That's right.
And this is almost like they got to see a glimpse.
That's like a preview.
Yeah.
Of the glory that Jesus will have.
Right.
So that's one interpretation. The second interpretation, which Dr. Peterson seems to lean towards, is that actually, believers have something more reliable even than the transfiguration experience, and that is the scriptures themselves.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So the written word is more reliable than a vision.
It is.
Yeah.
Because not everyone has the transfiguration experience.
Right.
You know, I can't go back in time to see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
But I do have the scriptures. And so the scriptures become even more reliable in that sense.
Right. So they're accessible to everybody and they endure throughout time.
Exactly.
Okay. And I know there's a third interpretation that you said Dr. Peterson mentions.
Right. So the third possibility is that when Peter uses the word confirmed, he's using it in kind of a superlative sense.
Mm.
So that means that the Old Testament, the prophetic word, is completely reliable in and of itself. Now, this is a grammatically possible interpretation.
Okay.
Dr. Peterson notes that it's probably not the majority view, but it is something that is possible just grammatically speaking. But I think the main point here is that Peter is emphasizing the importance of the prophetic word.
Okay. Now, the last part of that passage, he uses this phrase, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, which is really beautiful imagery.
Yeah.
But what does he mean?
Well, Dr. Peterson connects this to the idea of Christ's return, you know, like the second coming.
Okay.
You know, the day dawning and the morning star rising. It's kind of this image of the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises.
So in the meantime, scripture is the lamp.
Exactly. Until we get to the, you know, full glory of Christ's return.
So we need that light to guide us. So this is all really interesting. And this is setting the stage for what we're going to really talk about, which is where does scripture come from? And to really get at that, Dr. Peterson dives into 2 Peter 1.2 over 021. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is really important, right?
Absolutely. This is where we start to get into the nuts and bolts of what inspiration really is.
So what's the main takeaway here?
I mean, the main takeaway is that ultimately the Bible, scripture, it comes from God.
So it wasn't just these, you know, really bright guys thousands of years ago just thinking really hard about God and writing down their ideas.
Right.
It was an actual impartation.
It was from God.
From God. And I think what's really interesting is that Peter specifically mentions the role of the Holy Spirit.
Right. This idea of being carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Right. So the Holy Spirit is the agent of inspiration.
Yeah. And Dr. Peterson, he contrasts this with a passage like 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about scripture being God-breathed.
Right, right.
But here, in 2 Peter, we get the Holy Spirit specifically mentioned as the agent guiding those writers.
Okay, so the writers, they were kind of like spokespeople.
Yeah, think of like Aaron speaking for Moses.
Right, right.
The prophets and apostles, they were God's spokespeople in a sense.
Okay, so that's really interesting.
So the takeaway here is that God is the one who initiates and empowers the writing of scripture.
Okay, so this is Peter's own understanding of where scripture comes from, and it's super important.
Absolutely. It lays a foundation for how we approach the Bible.
Now, to kind of broaden things out, Dr. Peterson then takes a step back and looks at the systematic theology of scripture. And he basically lays out different ways that people have understood the concept of inspiration. So he uses a framework from another theologian named Millard Erickson, and he adds a couple extra views in there, too. And so we get these different theories about how God and humanity interacted to actually produce the Bible.
And it's interesting because you see a whole range of viewpoints.
Yeah, it's a spectrum. So let's jump into these different views. First up, we've got the intuition theory. What's the basic idea behind that one?
So the intuition theory basically says that scripture was written by, like, religious geniuses. Think about, you know, really smart philosophers, people like that.
Okay, so it's emphasizing human insight.
Exactly. It's like saying that the Bible is a collection of really profound human insights into religious truth, you know, reflecting the spiritual awareness of the Hebrew people.
Okay, so there's no direct divine communication in this view.
Not really. It's more about human spiritual talent and ability.
Okay, I see. So that's one end of the spectrum.
That's right.
Now, what about the illumination theory?
So the illumination theory, it kind of takes a step closer to divine involvement.
Okay.
So this view says that the Holy Spirit did work in the writers of scripture, but mainly by heightening their natural abilities.
Okay. So it's like the Holy Spirit is making them more sensitive to spiritual things.
Exactly. So, you know, proponents of this view will say, well, the Holy Spirit works in all believers to some degree, but he worked even more strongly in these writers.
Okay, but God didn't necessarily give them any new information, right?
Right. It's more about sharpening their existing spiritual senses.
Okay, that makes sense. So then we come to the dynamic theory. And this one sounds like it involves a more active role for God.
Yeah, the dynamic theory gets a little bit more into the specifics. So this one says that God gave the writers specific ideas or concepts that he wanted to be communicated.
Okay.
But then he allowed them to express those ideas using their own words, their own language, their own style.
So it's acknowledging both the divine and the human element.
That's right.
So I guess that means that there could be some human error in the wording.
Potentially, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
This view is often summarized as God's word in human speech.
Right, right. That makes sense. Now, the verbal theory, that sounds a lot closer to what we were reading in Peter.
Yeah, so the verbal theory is definitely a step closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
So this view says that God didn't just guide the thoughts and concepts, but he also guided the specific words that the writers used.
Okay.
So the Holy Spirit was involved in the actual language of the Bible.
Okay. So the Bible contains the exact words that God wanted.
Exactly. And it's important to note here, as Dr. Peterson points out, that this is different from dictation.
Okay.
It's not like the writers were just taking dictation.
Right.
They were still active participants in the writing process.
So they're still making grammatical choices and using their own styles.
But under the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
To use specific words.
Exactly.
Okay. So then we get to the dictation theory. And this sounds like the most direct involvement from God.
Yeah, the dictation theory. This is kind of the extreme end of the spectrum.
Right.
So this one says that God literally dictated the words of the Bible to the writers.
Okay.
So the writers were basically like secretaries. They were just writing down what God said.
Okay, so in this view, the writers were totally passive.
Pretty much.
Okay. And I know that some people point to the Ten Commandments as an example of dictation.
That's right. And Dr. Peterson, he does mention that. But he also emphasizes that this is not how the entire Bible was written.
Right.
I mean, think about Luke. Luke talks about how he did research and he collected eyewitness accounts for his gospel.
Right. So there was a lot of active work involved there.
Exactly.
Okay, so those five, those are the main theories that Erickson outlined in his framework.
That's right.
But then Dr. Peterson adds a couple more. So first, there's the neo-Orthodox view, which sounds a little complicated.
Yeah, so this view tries to find a middle ground between kind of more traditional conservative understandings of the Bible and more modern liberal views that emphasize human reason.
Okay.
So basically, the neo-Orthodox view, it critiques traditional orthodoxy for putting too much emphasis on, like, propositional truth in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, faith is just about believing these propositions, these facts. Mm-hmm. And it kind of accuses traditional orthodoxy of having this rigid view of dictation.
Right.
Even though, as Dr. Peterson points out, many Orthodox theologians have actually had more nuanced views, focusing on the final text as God's word.
Okay.
Now, on the other hand, neo-Orthodoxy also critiques liberal theology.
Okay.
It says that liberals rely too much on human reason.
Right.
And it criticizes them for trying to separate scripture into, like, a kernel of truth and a husk of stuff that's not so important.
Okay, so it's trying to find a middle ground between these two approaches.
That's right.
But if it's not about propositions or dissecting the text, then what is revelation in this view?
So for neo-Orthodox thinkers, revelation is about God revealing himself through his actions in history. So the story of Israel, the person of Jesus Christ, that's the main way God reveals himself.
Okay.
It's less about, you know, objective truths or facts and more about a personal encounter with God.
So it's more subjective, right?
Exactly. You have to experience it for yourself.
Right. It's about personal appropriation.
That's right.
Okay. That's really interesting. So the last view we'll talk about is limited inerrancy.
Right.
And this one seems to make a distinction between different parts of the Bible.
Yeah.
So what's the idea here?
Limited inerrancy says that the Bible is without error, inerrant, when it comes to matters of faith and practice. So, like, the stuff that's essential for salvation and Christian living.
Okay.
But it says that there could be errors in things like history, science,
yeah,
you know, factual details that aren't directly related to those core spiritual issues.
Right.
So some people who hold this view will use the word infallible to describe the Bible. They'll say that it unfailingly accomplishes God's purposes.
Okay.
Even if every single statement in it isn't perfectly accurate.
Right.
And this is in contrast to full inerrancy, which says that the Bible is true in everything that it affirms.
Right. Across all subjects.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow. So we have gone through a lot of different viewpoints on inspiration.
We have.
And I think it's fascinating how different they are.
It really is.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Dr. Peterson's lecture, what do you think is the biggest takeaway for us?
I think the main thing is that understanding these different views of inspiration can give us a much deeper appreciation for how people have thought about the Bible and where it comes from.
Yeah.
It shows us that there's been a lot of discussion about the relationship between God and the human writers of Scripture.
Right.
And it helps us to be more thoughtful about our own approach to the Bible.
Right. And we started this whole conversation with So Peter, where Peter himself talks about how Scripture comes from God.
Right. And I think that's an important point. You know,
yeah,
because it shows that even from the very beginning, Christians have believed that the Bible is not just a human book.
Right. It has a divine origin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It comes from God through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. So for those listening, as you consider all of these different viewpoints on inspiration from, you know, purely human insight to direct dictation and all those nuances in between, how does this affect how you read the Bible? Which view resonates with you the most and why? It's something to really think about.
It definitely is.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
Always a pleasure.